Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 105, part one of Pride, part two. Today is July 10th, 2009, and it's Friday. Hello, and thank you for joining Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. The month of July, starting it off with a bang. Well, the 4th of July, get that. Come to Minnesota, June, July. These are the months. The month of July, right now, we are out in our more than 10,000 lakes, boating, fishing, with our water skidoos. We are just having so much fun, and it's absolutely beautiful. And I am your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from Spirited, North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. And as you know, Pastor Paul's mission is the grocery shelf to the state of Minnesota. We're located in Disciples Ministries' historic Mikrokota Synagogue at 1000 Oliver Avenue in North Minneapolis. So if you need food and you live in Minnesota and you are living in a household of two or more, a senior 60 years and older, or you are disabled with proof, call us at 612-521-4665 Monday through Friday between 1 and 3 p.m. to register your household for monthly groceries. We will fix you up. We have got lots of food. We have so much food, we don't know what to do with it all, so we want to give it to you. How about that? So be sure to visit us online, where you're not going to find any food, but you will find that you can make a tax-deductible donation to support our free food mission. So what do you think about that? Visit us online at www.pastorpaul.org. You can also join our online community. At the top of the homepage, you're going to find interactive links to, write this down, our blog, Flickr, where you're going to see so many photos you won't know what to do with them all. The podcast. Hopefully you are subscribing and listening to Pastor Paul's podcast every Friday and every Sunday. If you're not, you can't blame us for your life, okay? Subscribe to the podcast. Life Vantage. You're going to find a link to Life Vantage. That is a direct link where you can buy our product, Protandim, that reduces your oxidative stress that causes free radicals. You know you've got them. You know you've got free radicals. You need to reduce them. So let us help you. Protandim, you need to order it. Buy auto ship, save yourself some money. Start taking that one little pill every day. Fight those free radicals. Eliminate them. Check it out. Also, follow me on Twitter and I will follow you. The blog. I'm coming back to the blog. You need to go to the blog every week to see the show notes for Pastor Paul's podcast. And there you're going to find interactive links to scriptures which you know you need to read. You need to get in your Bible and start digging through these scriptures. You can't just listen to the message. Every message, we've got the scriptures. Check them out. If you need to, you can email me, janine@pastorpaul.org, and you can also leave a comment, ask a question, make a suggestion, or a testimony at the blog. Now, if you want to, you could make an MP3 audio testimony and email it to me. I love audio emails. In the month of July, Pastor Paul's messages are going to include these. We're starting the month off with pride, and we know that needs to be dealt with. Then we go into, we need Holy Spirit direction, and that's where you're going to get that by reading your Bible as well as listening to Pastor Paul's message. Do you have a wounded spirit? Is God with you? These are some questions and the titles of the messages you're going to hear this month, Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. Have a great month. God bless you.
Today's message is entitled Pride Part 2. There'll probably be 50 parts to this, I don't know. For Friday, we ministered about pride and that of all the seven sins, pride, anger, envy, impurity, gluttony, slothfulness, avarice. Then I said, of all those things, pride comes first. Pride goeth before the fall. It's too proud to wait and come after. Goes before. The fall is already there when you go before God. It's a certain thing. It's an absolute. So whenever you go ahead of God, you don't have to, you know, you're not coming to a fall. You've already fallen. When we say in our hearts that we're going to go ahead and do this or that outside of God, we go before the fall. The fall is certain. We said that if all the prideful were cut off, I believe then the census count would be quite different because I think there's a certain amount of pride in everybody. Let us now continue dealing with pride. That's a being preoccupied with ourselves, which is miserable. You know, it shows on our faces, doesn't it? When we're into ourselves. People always ask people, they say, what are you into nowadays? What's your bag? Well, if they're into something outside of God, they're into themselves, and they're going to be miserable. Then our self-fruit, I believe, becomes very visible. Our jealousy, in our hate, in our greed, in our lust, in our gluttony, in our envy, in our slothfulness, in our pride. Our faces, you see, betray what we say by the way we look and by the way we talk. In Psalm 12, 3 and 4 says, the Lord shall cut off all flattering lips. Imagine having your lips cut off. And the tongue that speaketh proud things. Verse 4 then. Who have said with our tongue, we will prevail. Our lips are our own. Who is the Lord over us? These are our lips. We'll do what we please with them. Isn't there a song like that? These lips. Huh? I think there is. People are always talking about their lips, and they're always getting their lips into messes. But total destruction, it says, shall overwhelm the lovers of flattery and pride. But I thought to myself, meanwhile, my, how they carry on. But don't call fire down on them, because that'd be the wrong spirit. Jesus will say, why, you're calling this by the wrong spirit. But Paul called them raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame. Ever hear a proud heart just foaming out their own shame? I did this and I did that, and my God, no one recognizes the importance of me, and when will I ever recognize the great work I'm doing? Foaming out. Free thinkers, and free thinkers are always free talkers. And that's the trouble with freedom without God. We got so many free thinkers and free talkers then, even here in our own United States, that everybody's got their own little rights movement going. And they're at complete ease at tearing God apart. Who is the Lord over us, they boast. I think freedom of speech is really great, but, you know, God isn't in it. Whew. Think about all the freedom of speech that we have in this country, and think about all that's being said blaspheming God. But notice here that flattering lips and tongues speaking proud things are classed here together. And the reason is quite clear. For they are guilty of the very same vice. The first flatters another, and the second flatters himself. See, you prime them. You prime the people. Wow, I don't know when I've heard such a wonderful, beautiful, great teaching, this or that or so on like that, you know. And then the second flatters himself. Well, God gave it to me, you know. Came to me one night all of a sudden, and you know what I mean? See? Or you are wonderful and great and colossal. Yes, all that you said is very true, but you forgot one thing. Aren't I fabulous? And even if they don't say that, we take on that stance. And we can be proud about everything that we do. But in both cases, the lie is in their right hands. Let God be true and every man a liar, the Word of God says. And I thought, you know, now one would imagine that flatterers are like little parasites, too cringing to be proud. Now that I believe that while all pride is truly meanness, what do you mean by that? All pride is meanness. Aren't people that are prideful mean? There is then in the very lowest meanness no small amount of pride. Caesar's horse, I'm saying, is even more proud of carrying Caesar around than Caesar is of riding him. And Caesar's rug yells out, "Hey, I wiped the emperor's feet." And none are so detestably domineering as the little creatures who creep into office by cringing to the great. Have you ever noticed that? Maybe you've gone in to get your welfare check, and the little person behind the counter becomes a monster. Or maybe even here in our mission, we might have someone that would cook that would become a monster because the leader of the group is proud, and so then this sprinkles off into the others. And I think all the leaders need to take a look at the people that are working for them. Because if that proud spirit is in there, it needs to be broken. It needs to be recognized, and it needs to be cast out in the name of Jesus. Beware the little creatures working for people in high places who are proud. Banks. You can go into a bank and you can talk to one person and say, "No, definitely you can't have a loan." One time I went in and I went in with holes in my shoes and holes in the back of my trousers, and I wore a long coat to cover that up. Walked in covering my shoes up so nobody would see them and sat down. The guy said, "Definitely you cannot have a loan." And I went home and I filled out a write-in, and they sent it to me in the mail. Sometimes people given a little authority can use just a little authority and misuse it. And they can become monsters. Someone in charge of the toilets can become a monster. They just mop their way out of there. You want to use the restroom. And there he's standing with the mop. Proud of what he's done. "How dare you step on my clean floor? May I use?" "Sure you can use it. Go ahead, everybody else does." Huh? Or the insurance companies. Or the hospitals, or where you go to get your car fixed. And sometimes they judge the whole operation by one person. Don't ever do that. Don't ever do that. You don't know the whole place by one person. Maybe you're dealing with the spirit of pride. Maybe the garbage man comes to pick up your garbage. Huh? With a bow tie on. He wants you to gift wrap the whole thing. Huh? Wants you to put it in 10-pound containers so you won't have to lift too much. Pride wants to make maybe $2,500 a week because, hey, I'm doing a great job, much greater than the other person did here. Well, I'm picking up again as much as the other guy did. I should get double time and a half for what I'm doing. So it isn't the job you have or the position you have. It's how you feel, and you can pick up that spirit of pride wherever you are. Because sometimes the helpers of the proud are meaner than hell itself. The Bible says that men cannot tame such tongues, boastful flatterers, but the Lord's remedy is sharp and clear. Listen to it in verse 5. For the oppression of the poor, for the sighing of the needy, now will I arise, saith the Lord. I will set him in safety from him that puffeth at him. God sees the poor, and God sees the needy, even though they don't even cry out. Maybe they don't even have enough energy to cry out, but he sees them. And for exactly what we're seeing right now in the world today, without them lifting one finger to help, and I think now our 1983 build-up on help the poor has slid down to the level of kick everybody out. They haven't got money, kick them out of town. Man's love. Man's dedication. Finally now pride stands up and says, that is enough. Get out. But now we're dealing in our country and around the world, but I think especially right here, with the spirit of the Antichrist, the proud one. It's no one other than the devil and all of his demons. It says in the end time, God will release seducing spirits that have never been loosed from the pit. What does seducing suggest to you? That they will seduce you into all sorts of things. You're not warring flesh and blood. You're warring against the principalities and the powers and the spiritual wickedness and high and heavenly places. And when rebellion comes on and pride comes on, you're being affected by a demon. Now, how many know what I'm talking about? I know from myself. We are dealing with the Antichrist and anything that exalts itself above Christ is the Antichrist. Anything that's contrary to the Word of God, any rebellious spirit, is the spirit of the Antichrist. And it's showing its ugly head over every TV, over every radio, over the magazines. They're saying our lips are our own, we'll do what we please with them. And the Bible says they will be cut off. The time is here. I think for the most part, all you people listening know you have been affected by the spirit of the Antichrist. Give up. Sit down. Don't do anything. Now, admit it. It's too hard. It's too late. People won't listen. They only go a little ways and they sit down. Well, tell them to get up then. And encourage them to get up and tell them that the spirit of the Antichrist has come upon planet like never before. We battle not against the flesh and blood. Spirits. And number one spirit is pride. pride in knowledge, pride in how much we know, and we can exalt ourselves above God. And I don't care how much you've learned, and all the people that enter all tremendous Bible studies, when they exalt themselves above God. And oh, I'll tell you, there'll be arguments about what I'm preaching here today. But it is the truth. You can search the scriptures and never find Jesus Christ. And there is a spirit right now that is exalting itself above God. And when the Bible, the Word of God, takes precedent over Jesus, there's something wrong. When doing these things, when a Bible study, let's say, which are beautiful, and we should each individual be into the Word of God. I mean, you've had enough teaching. Get into the Word of God for yourself and see what God is speaking to you. Because the spirit of the Antichrist is here, and it is thick. And there is a deception going around right now. And many are being affected, and praise God, that through prayer and fasting they can be released, and all of us are going to be hit by it. And then spirits, in the Bible it says, will have them get back into themselves, seeking to satisfy self. Hey, you can't do it. Self is never satisfied. Oh God, I'm so hungry, I'm dying, I've got to have something to eat. And you go eat, and you're miserable. Why did I eat so much? Huh? You know what I want right now? I wanted malted milk. And you have the malted milk, and say, why did I do it? I gained 4 pounds right there. Now I have to laugh. People say, all I have to do is look at food, and I get fat. Would you close your eyes when you ate it? You had to eat it. I know about that. But we're going to run into arguers and rebellious spirits causing divisions. Double-hearted, it says. In Psalm 12 and 2 says like this, with flattering lips and with a double heart they speak. Now, again, I have to say this. We all can be affected by these things. I think the ones that puff up one another and puff up someone else's heart have nothing better than wind in their own heart, full of hot air. Because the flatterer has another side to his heart, a one that has contempt for people. Beware of such. When someone is a continual flatterer, you know what I mean. I'm not talking about someone just lifts up the body or says, great job, praise the Lord. I'm not saying that. But I'm talking about the spirit of a flatterer. Okay? They have a double heart, the Bible says. On one side, they flatter you. On the other side, there's an evil over there. They're waiting for the thing to go down. You guys are doing such a great job. I do not believe it. And this group over here is doing such a wonderful... Oh, we so enjoyed that. And on the other side, when there's a continual flatterer around, look out. Because there's another side to their heart. Another side. And the other side is... It's terrible. It shows up... Sometimes I just shake my head and say, okay. And a long time ago, the Lord told me to say, oh, thank you very much, and walk away. Beware of such, for in the end times, there's going to come lying lips and flatterers. Now, I'm sure we can all see ourselves in what I've ministered here Friday night. And maybe you should get the tape from Friday night. And also here thus far this Sunday, I'm sure we can all see ourselves, can't we? In some degree, we are all affected. Know what these are? These are blocks to the power that we can have. These are blocks. Unsurrendered self blocks the power flow. You jam it up. There are these attitudes we can take towards ourselves, and we'll go through them today. We can deny ourselves, or we can decorate ourselves, or we can deify ourselves. We can deceive ourselves, or we can divide ourselves. We can dedicate ourselves. First, we can deny ourselves and say, I do not exist. Only God exists. Monoism. It won't work. It will begin with some exaltation, for a few minutes or an hour or a day. I don't exist. It's only God. I'm not here. But it'll wear off. You'll get hungry and tired. It's only a verbal release. Someone will come to you and get you angry, and you'll find out you're still here. Oh, I thought you said you didn't exist. Sounds like you came alive. That's how cults get started. And that's how these legal ministries always end up. They can't stand it for the wear and the rub. These facts I'll tell you, they come up every time. You're living in a sort of a verbal dreamland. I heard it preached over the radio. You are not God. No, you're not. Or part of Him. You are you, created, it says in the Bible, in God's image. And then don't try to suppress yourself. It can't be done. Don't try to put a bit in your mouth, and don't try to hold yourself back. It can't be done. Then secondly, you can decorate yourself. You can make yourself presentable to yourself and to others. And you can put on a happy face, and you can, play the game. But you know what? You'll know the truth. And you'll end up with an inner conflict. Your face will register a halfness. See, because your facial expressions are connected to the subconscious storehouse. And it registers how you really feel down in your subconscious, okay? And then when you recognize that, you try to overcome it, you try to suppress it, and sit on that lid, you end up with a half a smile. And you know it ain't coming off right. How many have done that? You know it's not coming off right. Why? It isn't in you. You're putting it on. It's not coming from the inside. Now, I'm not just talking about some people. I'm talking about all people. All of us. It has to be an inward change, or it doesn't come off right. It's a nervousness that we have. Hi, how's it going? Great. And then we don't know what to say after that. That's all that's in us, those little cliches, nothing. Well, outside of having Jesus down there and talking about Jesus, there's nothing that's comfortable to talk about because it's all shim-sham. It's all total self, and it ends up miserable and wretched and poor, the Bible says. See, you know the truth. And then thirdly, make a God out of yourself. Deify yourself. Just frankly and without apology, make yourself number uno. Central and absolute. And you know why? Know something? It works. For a while. You can go real far with this uninhibited self. Hey, I'm number one and I'm going to go for it. Don't you ever hear that in the world? Let's go for it. Buckle down, win sake, buckle down attitude. You can win sake if you'll only buckle down attitude. For a while, you'll get away with it. Frank Sinatra used to sing a song like that. I'll have it my way. Well, if God doesn't have it His way, you'll have it your way, and your way will send you straight to hell. That's just the way it is. But anyway, going on with this, yes, it can drive you to success and power of a kind for a while. But only for a while. The payoff always comes, and you wonder why in the world. Well, look out there. Looks like they're so successful and everything, and they're not all in all this kind of a mess like I am, being a Christian and everything and not being able to do anything. Look at them out there. They're having fun for a season. For a season. Until they go home and drop their shoes off and look at the wall. The payoff comes, and you'll find that your success and your power have ended up in Dead Sea fruit. No way to flow out. Boy, that's miserable. And all these people that accumulate a whole lot of things, and it's all built around self. They end up miserable and wretched and poor. And you don't have to accumulate a lot of wealth. I mean, you can accumulate what you think is a lot of wealth. You go for friends, or you go for this, or you go for that, or you go back into worldliness. And you accumulate all that, there's no outflow. It's like it's contaminated and they got a sign around you. Don't touch, contaminated. How many hearing this? See, and these are the spirits that are going to hinder Christians in the end. You've got to hear this. You wonder why people are going kind of goofy. What got in that? The spirit of pride. That's what got into us. It's only for a while. It won't last. Because this proud, assertive man is not punished outwardly, he is punished inwardly, and the payoff is in himself. He has himself, what he's produced. And now he doesn't like himself. But you know what's miserable? He has to live with someone he don't like, himself. Pride doesn't want anybody else in on the great action. See, that's like when you make yourself God, then the devotee strips the God and despises the God that he set up. And you either carry a heaven and hell in you. By the one that has you, I'm talking about. In Psalm 59 and 12, for the sin of their mouth and the words of their lip, let them even be taken in their pride. You bring it on all yourself. But the Bible is very clear here that persecutors do not gain on the righteous people, yet their pride, yet their brags, yet their slander, yet their curses against the godly ones are on record. No matter what you suffer for the cause of Christ, those that have rebelled against God and against you that are serving God, that's all on record. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. But next you can deceive yourself. You can hide yourself in the basement of the subconscious mind and say it doesn't exist. It'll be like Janine was talking about some little rat that was trying to get out of a box. And she was down inside of the clothes room down there, and some little kid had put in a shoebox there with a couple of pieces of tape around it, and this little sort of a rat or something was peeking its nose and biting around all the little hole, this little hole trying to get out. Rat, scratch, 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 scratch. That's how our subconscious will be. We try to act like it isn't so, but it's always there, and it's always reminds us, and it's always scratching at the top of the lid trying to get out. Though our conscious motives could be clear and they could be good. But yet the unconscious determines the actions. The Bible calls it the storehouse. Whatever in your storehouse is going to come out. Then you look around, oh, why did I say that? Because it was down in your subconscious. Oh, how did I ever, I can't imagine me saying that. It's down in your subconscious. Now, I'm not talking about speaking the truth to somebody. I'm talking about those things that come out. How many are hearing this? Woo! Well, how can we know this? A person asked me whilst I was counseling one night. By their fruits ye shall know them. Bitter little crab apples will pop out all of a sudden from out of nowhere. And they'll be sitting there with these little bitter crab apples all over them. By their fruit, you will know them. And then the body will start to act out its part. The face changes. The walk changes. The eyes change. The disposition changes. And for a day or a week or whatever, until these little crab apples rot, then it'll quit for a while. Then the process will start all over again. Whew. I got this message from driving by the cemetery down there, not from the dead either, from the trees that bloom along that cemetery down there on Penn Avenue, you know. I think clearly that many people are honestly deceived. Their Adam is alive and producing a fruit problem. And I think that these people have flesh flashbacks. So you see, if in spite of the apparently clear motives, there is an inward strain and stress, what's it show you? It shows me that chances are that in the subconscious there is a conflict, there's a covering up, there's something down there that has not been dealt with. Self-deception is at work. You cannot suppress the fruit. See, because it will produce what the seed is. If that seed is wrong, it's going to produce a wrong fruit. It's got to happen. The unsurrendered self, the unsurrendered portions of self are seeds, Adam's fruit. And they've got to have a vent, and they've got to have an outlet. You can almost hear someone's Adam's fruit popping out on their arms and on the sides of their heads and their kneecaps and off the backs of their legs. And sometimes it comes, most times, after a beautiful blossoming. I went by all these trees down there, and they're so beautiful. And they had these beautiful blossoms on them. Have you ever seen that down there on Penn? In the springtime, how many have seen that down there? And they have all, well, you've seen trees anyway, they bloom, and they were all in bloom. And everybody was going by, ooh, ah, oh, aren't they beautiful? And don't we love that attention when we're in blossom? When we're in bloom? It's a deception. Self loves the attention. And so it blooms and waves its little blossoms all over. And the wind whistles through their sweet perfuming flowers and sends it off to others. And everyone smiles at them. My, my, my. Wow, wow. How beautiful. Oh, and don't we love those beautiful, when people say, how beautiful she is. And we become prideful over our blossoms. But they're soon gone, aren't they? Uh-huh. And ugly little bitter crab apples come out. And all they do is drain us. Being a Christian so hard. And these little green apples, ugly, I'm so ugly, I hate myself. Why can't I blossom like I did before? So much work producing. I'm tired of it. and every worm and bug and fly and creeping, crawling thing invades our branches. Oh, God. I was in my glory, and I lost my blossoms. Now look at me. No, they drive by, no one even sees me. Be sure your pride will find you out, crab trees.
So if you tell a tear,